house.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody's dating my daughter, doesn't it? Mr. Pastor.
My family, I'm sure my daughters, you know, they love me. They've tolerated a lot of stuff, so. Hey, I want to ask you to do something for me. I know it's a good crowd for spring break. I was expecting to, you know, have a few people maybe sing Kumbaya, you know, go to lunch or something. Hey, but would y'all, I know we all have our places, right? But do y'all mind if y'all could, like, you know, move closer together? This morning, I'm going to share a few thoughts with you from Matthew 4, and we're going to have a time of corporate prayer for our community and our country. So do you mind? I know that sometimes I appreciate it. And, you know, if you're, if you're just attached to your seat, like Velcro, yeah. Try to get closer if you can, but that's good. Appreciate it. Scott really alluded to a lot of what I want to share this morning when he talked about that that when we pray that God listens, but that sometimes his answers are not when we expect, and they're not what we expect. Therein lies the challenge. This morning, it's just one of those Sundays where particularly, and you know if you've taught or you've shared or, you know, just in communicating things, there's a lot in my spirit. And so I want to just ask the Lord to help us this morning to accomplish. Sometimes we're in that place, you know, it's like, you know, and I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He is here today. Did you feel the presence of the Lord this morning? There were a couple of points during our worship where it's like, you know, just, and we did, we kind of came to a point where we just lingered. And there were a couple of times this morning where we could have easily lingered, and we did. And I want to appreciate Tony and the team, Scott and everybody. So this morning I want to talk about for just a little bit the call and the response. And then we are going to pray together in small groups for our community and for our country. Okay, we're going to take 7 minutes at the end of this time to pray. Okay, so I want to ask you to turn your Bibles, Matthew 4, 17 through 25. How many of y'all are sports fans? How many of y'all have been watching the free agency signings for the NFL? Yeah, some of the ladies, that's good. A lot of people, I mean, talking about, you know, God working in unexpected ways. How many of y'all were really surprised when the Texans were able to trade Brock Osweiler? In some ways, I feel sorry for Brock. It's kind of hard because he's going to get $37 million for all of this stuff that he's going through. And I don't know if he's a believer or not, but the guy is resilient. He showed up at a Kurt Warner's event, it's kind of one of those celebrity football activities, and just told the reporters no news. So I don't know if that was because of I can only imagine, you know, you go 8-6 in the NFL with a team that's pretty good, and you get fired. So, you said, where are you going with that, Pastor Dennis? I'm a sports fan, and I'm always amazed at the things that happen, that happen unexpectedly. The call and the response of the gospel and the extended of the kingdom is something that we're here today because of that. Remember that I have said to you on numerous occasions that there are three things that bring spiritual transformation. In other words, the kingdom of God has been extended because the power of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit and what takes place, what God does through committed relationships. Many of you can think back, and you're here today, obviously, because of those three things. And there probably all of us could identify somebody that God used in our lives to help us to become, you know, the kind of Christians that we are today. Is that not true? Many of you can also, and maybe we'll just do that, the significant call of God in your life. Does anybody remember a time when God called you to something? And I can share one thing, but where it's like, you know, your heart is kind of, you know, beating out of your chest, because what God has called you to is more than you can do in your own power. Anybody remember a time like that, Ken? Speak loudly. Okay. I'm not going to run with the microphone today.
I was a freshman at the University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking one course in speech correction.
Right.
Because I could stutter real well.
Right.
I was good at it.
I know there's a humorous story coming in on this somewhere.
And the Lord, I wasn't doing too good in chemistry as a pre-med student.
Right. yeah.
But anyway, I just felt amazed that
right.
God could use somebody like me.
Amen. No, that's all of our testimonies. Beer?
Thank you. I think most of you know I worked with another church several years back, and this has more to do with fighting God than actually responding to his call, but eventually coming around. I'll put it that way. There were some opportunities that were given to me at this other church, and I basically refused to do it. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And finally, I got, let me put it this way, God got my attention. And he said, look, he said, it's not up to you. And so I said, okay, fine. I came around to his side, imagine that. And the next time this opportunity came up, it wasn't offered to me. So I'm sitting here, I'm happy. I was right all along, right? Next time it came up, which was a year later, I said, okay, God, it's up to you. I'm not even going to be there. I'm not going to be involved. You're going to make the decision. So as circumstances went along, this was in a church business meeting. I was getting happier and happier because nothing was going to happen to me. Then it all changed. And then not only did I get a one-year assignment, but I got a three-year assignment. And so it's like, okay, God, if that's what you want.
That's good. One more person. Significant call. Bonnie?
So when I was in college, I studied engineering.
Did you really?
Yes.
Wow, I'm telling you all these. I didn't know that. So, I'm sorry. Can I just ask you one question? What engineering did you study?
Hey, Dennis, put this together.
Yeah. Okay, makes sense. We have a long time friendship, the Hoggets. Yeah. Okay, there's a marriage class coming up in a couple of weeks, okay? I'm sorry, Bonnie. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I'm just go ahead. I'll be quiet. Richard, no, I'll be quiet. Okay, sorry.
I was going to church where they were starting school.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Yeah.
And so then I came back, and I did help at the school for a little while, but it didn't. But I also felt like God wanted me to go ahead.
Right.
And so I got a job, but when I went to Dallas, they were starting a school, and it was like, oh, I didn't get away from it. I think God wants me to be involved in teaching here, and I did. About 7 months after I started my job at Texas Instruments, I ended up going and teaching at school for about 5 years.
Amen. It's good. You know, God's call, God just doesn't call us like to, you know, to be a missionary, to be a preacher or a pastor or, you know, whatever. God calls us to live our lives for Him. God calls us to ministry. He calls us to life, to ministry, vocation. I mean, there's not any part of our life that God, you know, is not in. And so this morning, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 4. And I want to say something. As you read this, remember, because we're going to talk some about, especially as we pray, about God's call to salvation. But remember this, that this is not about a call to salvation. This is about a call to discipleship. This is about a call to come and follow Jesus Christ, and that there most likely was a pre-existing relationship that what God was doing in the lives of these four men was He was preparing them. And so I think that's important, you know, as we look at this text. It is also a way for us to begin to prepare for Resurrection Sunday, Easter, as we begin to focus, not that we don't focus every Sunday and every week on the Lord Jesus Christ, but from the pulpit ministry. So let's read Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 25. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, it's interesting. Let me just stop here and just make a quick highlight something. As Jesus begins to preach, when He talks about the kingdom of heaven has come near, He doesn't give a lot of details. And so we know that because of the Old Testament scripture and prophecy given, that the Jewish people would have certain expectations. Let's go on. Verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. Most likely, we're going to continue just a moment with verse 23, but most likely they were looking forward to this day. Let's go on in verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Him spread all over Syria, and people brought to Him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and He healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed Him. Now, in the verse 17, look at it. This is the NIV translation here. And that phrase, Jesus, where it says, from that time on, Jesus began, announces a significant turning point. Do you believe that? I mean, we're here today. That turning point, you are fruit of the turning point. And so let's just look at some of the things, you know, let's highlight a few things about Jesus' ministry. Jesus is beginning His earthly ministry as the promised Messiah. He's not just a good man or a good teacher or somebody of notoriety. He is the Messiah, as prophesied in the Old Testament. And the preparation for his ministry, it's now complete. Think about it, miraculous birth, infancy, growing up, as a child, a childhood with Joseph and Mary. And as the Messiah in that struggle, remember there were things that he went through. There's not a whole lot written in Scripture. But, you know, in his life, the promised Messiah, he is, and that's being established. John the prophet, his prophetic forerunner, has announced Jesus' arrival. And so Jesus has been anointed. Remember, he's been anointed for ministry by the Holy Spirit. He's been confirmed by his heavenly Father. And so he has established his authoritative power as a son over Satan. Remember that. And we see Jesus, the Messiah, beginning to preach in the region with the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." That's the message that got you and I. Isn't that right? I mean, that message has not changed. I mean, the things that you shared, and all of us, if we sit down and we talked, and I know many of your stories, though I did know Bonnie's story, obviously, about studying to be an engineer. But all of our stories, you know, are built around the power of this message, the power of God's Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, and what has happened through people that have influenced your life. So as Jesus begins to preach, what happens? I mean, the Jewish people obviously held a variety of expectations within Israel. And so if you look at what did they expect his arrival of the promised Messiah to produce? And what kind of kingdom, you know, and was it consistent with their hopes? There were some who really did hope for a new heart and a new spirit because they had struggled in the Old Testament laws, I mean, to be pleasing to God. It talks about in the Old Testament that they meditated on the law day and night. Why? Because they wanted to be pleasing to God. Many expected the restoration of Israel. Remember that while the religious leaders, they did have a lot of influence with the Romans, but many of the Jews expected a political restoration of Israel. I mean, they wanted somebody that would be a military leader, like maybe a Patton, as we would think about, to come in and, you know, to, excuse me for this phrase, to kick some tail. Is that okay to say that? Yeah. Some expected new cities. And listen to this. Most of them expected that God would immediately bring judgment on unrighteous people and pour out his blessings to those who were righteous. That did not happen, did it? Like that. Not on their time frame. And so we know that Jesus' way to fulfill his mission is different than many expected. I want to say something. That's still true today. How many of y'all remember you were here years ago? I guess it's featured the Hoggets today. I don't know. I didn't line this up this way. But Richard and Bonnie have a relationship with John Michael Talbot. He is actually, he's a singer, musician, Catholic, right? And so I remember him saying something that's so true. He said, people don't have so much a problem with God, but they have a problem with Jesus. Isn't that true? Yeah, it's true. You can see it. So when Jesus begins to move in his ministry, and he's being faithful to his Father's plan, and it forces the people back then to decide to follow him or to be against him. Think about it. And what happened? Many of those, as he goes throughout his ministry, those 3.5 years, in the end, many of those people chose against Jesus at that time. Author Michael Wilkins reminds of this in one of his books, that Jesus had bitterly, he used these words, he had bitterly disappointed the crowd's expectation. So much so that when Pilate gave them the opportunity, they had a custom on Easter that they would release a prisoner. That the people that were gathered there, they chose Barabbas, and it's interesting, who had his name was actually Jesus, and he was a freedom fighter, notorious prisoner. And the crowd that was there chose Barabbas over Jesus. You think you feel rejection sometimes when you stand up for the Lord on your job site. Welcome to following Jesus Christ. I know that doesn't preach well. It doesn't fill up churches, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Now, but that's not the end of the story. Aren't we glad? Because Jesus' death and his resurrection began to change. It changed history. We know that. It changed our lives. And so his disciples, after his death and resurrection, they begin to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, and many begin to hear the call and respond to the power of God's word, to the power of the Holy Spirit working there, and the Holy Spirit was there. And I know he comes in power, you know, in Pentecost, certainly in a new and a fresh way. But God's Spirit has always been active. And so you see this, and that maybe even some of those same people who cried out, "Release Barabbas," were responding to the call of the gospel and became followers of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the great thing, and it's why sometimes when we, you know, you look back at how the Jews felt that they wanted judgment to come, God's a patient God. And God could have, he could have brought judgment right then. But because he's a loving God, he's patient, and because he had a plan that throughout the history of this world, that listen, the kingdom of God is going to be extended. And it doesn't matter whether Republicans or the Democrats or you know, in the White House or whoever. There's a lot of things that could discourage us, and we look at the things that are going on. But listen, the power of the gospel and the kingdom of God is being extended no matter what it looks like. And we can look, I mean, we live in the South and it's a blessing. We have churches on many corners. Somebody said, you know, if mega churches were really the complete door or the door to spiritual transformation, Houston would be a transformed city because we have so many. That's not a knock. I'm not criticizing mega churches or large churches or small churches or anything. Listen, we need Christian people. We need the church. And I tell you what's happening in America. There's a wake-up call that the church is hearing again. Do you believe that? Yes, you do. And I want to thank you this morning. The elders and I have been blessed, you know, because we've seen it. It's like, you know, we're seeing these little growths on the trees, you know, like spring is coming in the church. Many of you are being stirred. There are things that you have been called to and you're responding to God, you know, in ways that only God can bring. Isn't that right? I mean, I just been blessed by the signs of growth. And some of you, God's stirring you by the power. He's putting a burden on you in a new and a fresh way. Some of you that are here. And you've involved yourself, and the fruit of what God is doing is coming out in your life and in the ministry that you serve in. Listen, that's good news, because while we may be a small church on the corner of Queenston and Longabout, we have a place in this community, and serving God together is part of the destiny that God has given to us. I don't know about you, but you know, and I go through those challenges, and I try to watch what I get into my spirit. I mean, you know, every time I look here, you go to look for something on the internet, and depending on, you know, what your, I guess, you know, your homepage is, you can get a lot of discouraging news. You got to look on the back page sometimes. And you know, when you start doing that and you get around other Christians and you see what's going on in the world, listen, the kingdom of God is moving on no matter what the media wants you to believe. They're just a pawn for Satan. That's all they are. That's strong words, I know, but it's the truth. That's why it's important what we allow to come into our spirit. God works in unexpected ways. And I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for the call on your life. I'm grateful for your response. And I just, you know, I want to acknowledge my gratefulness to the Lord. Listen, we are building a bridge to the future. The mission of this church is born out of the Great Commission, and that is that we want to help people to be like Jesus Christ in their daily lives. And the vision of this church is to be a healthy church for the purpose of connecting people, building faith, and serving others. And that's what God is doing. God has blessed this church with financial resources. And as we pray and we consider, God, what is it that you desire for us to do? And God made a promise to me in 2013 that he would give us the resources that this church needs to carry out. It's part of the mission in West Houston. And I believe that. And I'm declaring that to you today.
Amen.
Age doesn't matter. You say, well, I feel tired. I do too. I mean, I get up and these old softball knees have to be stabled out, you know. Let me move on, okay? Because I want to get time to pray and I'm lingering here. Listen, what every one of you responds to do is important because as a country, and you know this is true, we've been drifting for a long time towards secularism. Morally and ethically, I don't have to say a whole lot, we're spiraling downward quickly. A lot of people's lives have been damaged because of that. But just as the same thing that happened, that Jewish crowd that would gather in Jerusalem and would choose Barabbas to be set free rather than Jesus Christ, and we know it was God's plan. Do you understand? But listen, the church has grown in challenging times. Those things that press you and you feel like sometimes, you know, y'all know what a chamois is? You know, you wash your car, well, most of us run our car through a car wash. But I used to watch my neighbor, Johnny Frells. He would wash that car. It was a nice car, too. It was like an Impala. That thing was sporty looking. Had 327 engine. It was pretty fast for a family sedan. And so, but he had that, you know, he had a chamois that he would run through with a small, you know, metal steel barrel, and he would squeeze that water out of there. So when he wiped that water off on that lime green Impala, it looked really nice. Do you ever feel that way? You feel like, you know, that, I mean, life has a way of just, you know, squeezing you. And that's what's important about gathering to worship. That's what's important about, you know, you personally spending time in God's Word. Because life will try to wear you out. Life will, you know, we have a spiritual tank, and many times we give ourselves. And so that's why the gathering with believers to worship God and to share and to pray and to give testimony is so important. And God bless you. You guys are faithful. You're here on spring break. And we pray for our friends that are skiing, that they'll be safe. They can find snow. It's been hot. These verses from Matthew 4 really do encourage us that Jesus Christ is calling. He's calling the church to respond and to carry out the mission. He does that in every generation. And so I just want to look at three things real quick from our text that the call and response is based on. And these are things that gives us real hope. The first thing, the call and response, is really based on Jesus' authority and spirit anointing as God's Son. In other words, that Scripture teaches us that those that know Jesus Christ hear his voice and what? They obey him. That is so true. And the fact we see, we have been blessed because, you know, we see, well, let me just give you a personal example real quick. Our son-in-law, Miles, you know, he was in, again, he's been, you know, they moved to Little Rock. Clarissa was, part of the worship team and worship leader. And so I've just been blessed because I see God working in Miles' life. You know, some of you talked about, you know, when Miles and Clarissa were here, Miles would get up and share those little, you know, the little sermons for about 10 minutes. Y'all remember that?
From his heart.
Yeah, from his heart. That's right. And Estelle talks to me about that all the time. And I promise Estelle that one of these times I know he's going to come in, I'm going to give him opportunity to give one of those little, you know, those little messages or whatever. But I see God working in his life. And in the business side of things, God is promoting him. First comes the what? The natural, the physical, and then the spiritual. Now, both things are going on. But I can give stories. I mean, I'm listening to some of your testimonies about our young people that are going and they're getting themselves in place of leadership in their churches that are, you know, they've gone away to school or whatever. Listen, every generation, Jesus Christ has his authority as God's son, and the anointing of the Spirit brings life. We see it at every generation. You rejoice when you see your children beginning to serve God because they've chosen to, not because they're going to church with you. Isn't that right? That's right. I mean, how is it that you can go to Yahoo or Google or whatever you go to, and you can see things look discouraging, you know, and all of that. But then when you hear what's actually happened, the kingdom of God is moving on. Why is that? Because Jesus has authority. When he calls, those that know his voice will hear him and they will respond. And there's life. It's why those of us that are, you know, in our 50s and our 60s, we're continuing, and older, we're continuing to serve God and finding new ways that God is showing us. I mean, I think about what Betty's been doing with Grief Share, you know, and so I'm blessed by that because God put a burden on her heart. There's some of you that are doing things. Why are you doing that? Because you feel a burden. There's a call. And so anyway, you see it. It's like, I can't leave this alone. You know, Betty feels in her heart, I want to help people that are grieving because they lost somebody. You know, and so they see people getting, you know, a person getting born again, a person getting filled with the Spirit. You know, what Andrew is doing, what we're doing in many of our connect groups where we're a number of you connect group leaders, you've got people that are not, I mean, they're not here on Sunday morning, but they're coming. In some ways, it's their church. And that's okay, isn't it? Jesus, the call and the response that people have, that they hear and they respond to, is because of his authority and the life that he has as God's son, as the Messiah, as Matthew would say, writing about particularly the Jewish perspective. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Great promise. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Listen to this. This is great. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. That's good stuff, isn't it? Secondly, Jesus enlists workers, we've been talking about that already this morning, to be effective in reaching others. I mean, those four brothers, I mean, he was enlisting them. They had been prepared for this probably for some time. And so he's enlisting them, you know, to as he said, to go out and fish for people, to be effective. Now listen to what Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8 say. As you go, preach, saying, "This the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give." Now, many of you know that what God called you to do, you know, at some point and even now, doesn't require you to leave your job. It doesn't require you to be called a pastor or necessarily a preacher. But when we preach the gospel, it's the sharing of the good news. And listen, folks, no matter what, it's good news that you've got. And that's what you're seeing. You know, I've been so blessed because as a church, as we reach out to people and we, you know, we share with our neighbors. And listen, there's a lot of Christians that are in this community that, listen, they're seeking God. They're seeking a place to come and worship. They're seeking a group of believers that they can be with. And that's what we see happening. Look at the last part of this verse. Freely you have received, freely give. Whatever God has given to you, freely give it back out. And that's what the Holy Spirit does is we give. He replenishes us. He refills us. That's the promise. You know, I mean, there is balance in life and all those kinds of things. But you know what? It's good to come to that place that you realize that you're giving. And what you're giving is not what you have on your own. It's what God has given to you. And the effective measure of what it produces, that's up to the Lord. It's not up to us. And I'm glad. One of the things that happened that was certainly negative, you know, a lot of these studies and things that we see over the years, and we talk about how many young people that were raised in Christian homes and went to, you know, even private Christian schools were moving away. Well, number one, some of those statistics were wrong. They were misleading. My Baptist church that I grew up in, the Baptist, the Southern Baptist, some of you know this is true, that they found that 80% of the work, do you remember this, was done by 20% of the people. It's amazing, isn't it? They say that only 2% of Christians actually share their faith. God, how are you doing that? How is the kingdom being extended if we're not sharing our faith? So, well, we need to be sharing our faith. That's not my message this morning. My message is in an acknowledgement that the Holy Spirit is moving among us and He is stirring us at all ages, as He does at every generation, to be effective workers in the kingdom of God. Thank you for being that. I just, you know, I don't know how I can say it any other way. I'm 62 years old, and I have a sense of destiny about what God has called me to be and what God has called me to be a part of. And I'm grateful to be a part. There's you know, while we may be a small church, but there's a destiny. You will always find people, Christians will always find their destiny wrapped up in God's purpose.
That's right.
Let me move on. The last one is this. Jesus' call is to personal commitment and discipleship. Personal commitment. Look at Matthew 16, verses 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's interesting because if you look back, you know, you look into Israel and you look in the Old Testament, and it's this, that the Jewish leaders, particularly as, you know, if you look at, you know, where they were moving to, the religious system that they had established was weighty, and it was getting weightier all the time. The truth is it was failing, and that's exactly what God wanted, because He wanted to show throughout history in the Old Testament, we couldn't do it on our own. We couldn't. And so, you know, what happens is religion, you know, is really, religion is man's attempt to try to reach God, to try to be pleasing to God. Really, in many ways, it's talking about us being God in our own lives. That was the original sin, wasn't it? You can be like God. Now, in America, religions over the past several years going back, there are more religions that are prominent than ever before. You realize that? So what it says is that people are trying to find God. They want to be pleasing to God, you know, and God is could be a lot of different things to them. But I remember, you know, looking in the early 2000s, I think 2003, there were 42 major religions in America, and only one of them was Christianity. In other words, we're in a whole group of religions, you know, we're classified that way. Because people will either, they'll either choose to have the life and be born again into the kingdom of God by believing in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or they'll choose some form of religion, which may be that I'm a religion, I am a God all to myself. It's why the belief is that we, that there's no truth, that whatever you decide that's good, whatever comes out in you, whatever you think, whatever way you want to do things is good. I mean, and that's why there's so many religions that people are leaving the church and leaving Christianity over these years to pursue other things. And they're in deception. You know, personal commitment and discipleship is something that you know, sometimes I think discipleship especially, you know, has gotten a bad name. But listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, and we're almost done and we'll pray. Jesus said, here it is again, come to me. It's that personal invitation of calling. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, people are deceived because when they think about discipleship, they think, oh, no, you know, I'm not going to have somebody telling me what to do. Listen, religion wears people out. Because here's what, a person wants to be, you know, they're trying to find God, or they're trying to be pleasing in life, or whatever it is. And so remember, I mean, it's almost like a dog chasing its tail, right? What does a dog do? It keeps going around and around because it's chasing its tail. Okay, what am I saying with that? Religion will always lead people to that point. But the call of the gospel, the power of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit and being among people that have a calling and a destiny to help build the kingdom of God will help to bring spiritual transformation. It's what happened in our lives. Let me close with this and then we'll pray for just a few minutes. I was encouraged this week, the last couple of weeks. One of my friends he's a cowboy, okay? Not a Dallas Cowboy fan, that's not what I'm saying. He's a cowboy. Cotton and I have been to a couple of dinners with an organization, and so they had a disc jockey playing, and so he likes to dance, and he's a short guy. He's kind of big like me. He's not that tall. He's got a real handlebar mustache, and he wears cowboy hat, and he wears one of those long black coats when he comes to these events. And so anyway, he loves to get out there and dance, and he is just, I mean, he, you know. And so anyway, but one of my other friends has been spending a lot of time with him, and he's witnessing to him. And we were talking the other day. It was like four of us at lunch. And so he's talking to him. His name is Ronnie. And so Ronnie has a farm up in Central Texas. And so all of this stuff began to come out about being a spiritual man, you know, about, you know, faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, well, you know, I'm not really a very, I'm a spiritual man, and I go up to the farm, and I like to get out in the woods, and that's where I spend time with God. He said, but I'm just not living a very good life right now. But there's something happening in his heart, because my friend who's witnessing to him is spending more and more time with him. And the fact that he would bring out in front of some other friends of his what God is doing in his life. I went to lunch with another friend who got born again several years ago, and just really had a lot of rough places in his life. And the transformation that's taking place, I'm not saying he doesn't need some, we all need transformation, we need change. But I'm so blessed because, you know, God took his family, his children, through some very difficult times, and it's brought them all to the Lord. They're all going to church, and their faith in God, he's got 9 grandchildren, and they're raising their children in a godly way. And I would have thought many years ago, goes to church every once in a while, very crusty person, but God has done something significant. Listen, the power of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of committed covenant-type relationships is making a difference in every generation. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do before we go. I want to ask you to just join me in prayer. I'm going to ask 3 people to pray. I want to ask you to pray out loud. You don't have to come up here. Pray for our country and pray for our community, for the kingdom of God, for people's lives to be changed, and for God to raise up the workers that are needed for the harvest that is going to happen in the next several years. So would you do that with me? Okay? All right? Just 3 people. I want you to pray. You don't have to pray long, and then we're going to be dismissed. All right? Let's do that. Okay? All right. However the Holy Spirit prompts you, then just begin to pray.
Lord, I pray about what Dennis just mentioned about committed relationships. God, I thank you so much for your personal intervention in my life through that event. For and became the most personal relationship through you that I can imagine. Lord, you've done a good work for these some years later, some 30, 40 years later, God, and that relationship is still there. But you choose to do those things with your people. I'm so blessed by that relationship, which has caused me to come into that room. Same kind of relationship with others, even those sitting right here with me right now. Done a good work.
Yes,
and
God.
You care for. I bless you. I thank you. Jesus, you're so good. We sing, you're good. Good. You're so good. You've been so good in my life. But I pray that over this church body.
Yes, God.
And I pray, oh God.
Yes.
That you would cause those kind of relationships to carry on and on and on. Oh God, even in that, oh God, I see there's times when those relationships get tested.
Someone else. Yes. Yes, God. Yes. All right, one more. Father, we're grateful for your presence with us today. We are grateful for the ministry of your word. It has life. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, all that he has accomplished in carrying out the mission. Thank you for the body of Christ, or not only in our community and in our country, but throughout the world. I pray, Father, that you would help us in our community, not only Christ Covenant Church, but every Christian, every church, Lord, to carry out the mission and to fulfill all that you've called us to be and to be a part of in your work. I pray for the resources. I pray for the people, Lord, in the months to come. Lord, that you will call here, Lord, to be a part of reaching others. Lord, thank you so much for your call on our lives. I pray your blessing on everyone here today. Lord, keep us safe, our travels, our activities, those that have recreational plans during spring break. Thank you so much for your goodness. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here today. And Katya and I will be at the Welcome Center and look forward to greeting you there. God bless you as you go. And if you need prayer, in other words, you just feel, hey, I'd like for somebody to pray, then grab one of the team or just grab somebody here and say, hey, would you pray for me? The prayers go on, you know, all over the place. They just don't happen at the altar, all right? God bless you as you go. Thank you so much for being here today.